greatest fight in Australian history, and that's no disrespect. I've got all the belts.
And the new Sydney-born 28-year-old George Kambosos, Australia's newest boxing champion. Didn't he stun American and the Brooklyn-based Teofimo Lopez to become lightweight world champion? So King Ed has led to all sorts of claims around where this sits in Australian boxing history. Safe to say, it stunned those in attendance at Madison Square Garden's Hulu Theatre. And Ryan Songalia was one of them. Ryan is a reporter for The Ring magazine, and he joins us now from New York. Ryan, hello, welcome.
Hey, thank you very much for having me on, guys.
Now, what on earth did you guys witness over there? Can you give us an idea of the sense of shock inside Hulu Theatre when this came to pass?
Oh, it was, there was a lot of shock from people who may not have been familiar with George Kambosos. He was a big underdog, I believe 13-1 were the latest odds before the final bell, before the opening bell. And he certainly didn't fight like he was 13-1. You know, at the end of the day, when you have a boxing match, it's really just one person with two hands against another person with two hands. And I wasn't so shocked because I had gotten to see Kambosos a lot sparring Pacquiao. I'd covered Manny Pacquiao's training camps, and I was familiar with just the competitiveness of George Kambosos and his overall determination and ability. And I'd always been impressed with him. I knew there was sort of this sort of ignorance by some fans who just didn't see him, you know. So, but he made his name. People won't forget him anytime soon now.
Now, I know, Ryan, we find you stateside, so this is a question without notice, but we're trying to put this in the pantheon, if you like, of Australian boxing and where it might sit. And a lot of people might mention, you know, you mentioned Manny Pacquiao and maybe Horn's defeat of Pacquiao going back to 2017. Are you able to categorise this, how big of an upset this is?
It's tough to say. I mean, this might be up there. If Jeff Fennec wasn't robbed in the first fight against Azuma Nelson, you know, that probably be number one. But this has to be up there, I would say. I mean, in terms of just not just, you know, the perceived class difference, but, you know, the overall expectations of what was going to happen. Like there was, you know, I was speaking to everybody and they were, oh yeah, Kambosos is going to get destroyed. I'm like, you guys are nuts. I mean, I've seen Kambosos. This guy is pretty good, you know? I would say this probably is up there. This is probably is, you know, I would say maybe up there. This maybe in terms of most significant wins, Kostyuzu against Zab Judah comes to mind. I mean, it's really up there. But of course, you know, Kostyuzu, you know, people knew who he was and he was a very well-respected fighter. So Kambosos really came out of nowhere, which is odd at a time when there's more boxing being broadcast to viewers than at any time in the history of the sport. It's really odd that people would overlook him that way. But, you know, this was not, you know, just when you talk about Pacquiao Horn, you know, that's a fight that a lot of people think that Pacquiao should have actually won, and that was in Australia. Yeah. This was Kambosos going over to New York, where Lopez is from, and beating him clearly, where everyone on press row, we were all talking amongst each other saying, you know, yeah, we think Lopez won. We think Kambosos won, but we think that Lopez is going to get the decision because it's New York, and we were glad that at the end of the day, the judges got it right.
Well, they got it right, but it was a split decision, Ryan. That's what always amazes me with these things. 115, 111, 115, 112, and then the other way, 114, 113 to Lopez. So it must have been an unbelievable fight. And a lot are claiming this is a contender for fight of the year. Where do you sit?
You know, I would say this is the upset of the year. I don't think there's going to be a fight, or there has been a fight that would surpass, say, Tyson Fury against Deontay Wilder in terms of just pure carnage. But this is one of those, like, I would say, hipster choices for fight of the year where it's like, oh, oh, yeah, of course, the heavyweight championship fight's going to get all the attention. But, yeah, were you there at the Hulu Theater when George Kambosos pulled off the, you know, the upset of the year? That, to me, you know, this is a great fight, whatever title you want to put on it. It was a great fight. It's one of those fights that people will remember for a long time because, you know, Lopez was viewed as by many people as, you know, really the future of boxing. You know, he was young, he was undefeated, he was flashy, he was knocking people out and doing an impressive style, and he beat Vasily Lomachenko in his previous fight. So, you know, he was not just a guy with flash. He was a guy with some substance. And George Kambosos went out there and boxed just a very disciplined and determined fight. He showed one of the most amazing chins I'd ever seen. He was getting hit by a guy who was, you know, at least another division bigger than him. You know, Lopez, you know, barely makes 135. You know, he'll probably max out as like a welterweight or so. And, you know, he's just a massive person. You could feel the difference in the punching power between them. So George Kambosos was taking amazing shots that would have knocked anyone else out, but he was not going to be denied. And, you know, he really he fought the fight of his life on the night that he needed to.
We're speaking to Ryan Songalea from The Ring magazine in New York. Ryan, Lopez didn't take it too well, though, did he? So bleeding from the face, big welt forming over the top of his left eye. He claims he won the fight. And obviously the crowd that had been well and truly on his side, Brooklyn born and raised, of course, they turned on him, didn't they, at the end?
Oh, yeah. No, because, you know, whatever you say about, like, you know, he's the guy, he's the hometown guy, when you're just, like, talking nonsense, you know, that has nothing to do with reality, yeah, people are going to be sort of taken aback, like, oh, did this guy actually watch the fight? You know, like, his face tells me one story, you know, about that he was there, but the story he's telling me is, like, he has no idea, you know, whatever happened earlier in the night. So, yeah, no, people turned on him, and it was just unfortunate, like, because I think that when Teofimo has some time to relax and take in, you know, the fight and watch it back, away from all the emotions and really clear his mind, I think he's going to be very angry at himself because he did this to himself. You know, he came in with the worst possible game plan, which was swing hard in case he hit something. And, yeah, the times he hit something, yeah, it was pretty good. But he was missing a lot, and I think that's why after he had that big 10th round, he had nothing in the tank to try and follow up and finish off Kambosos because Kambosos was hurt. But Kambosos, in the 11th round, it reminded me of, say, I believe it was the 9th round of Mike Tyson against Buster Douglas. When Buster Douglas was knocked down at the end of the 8th round, he'd saved by the bell. And then Buster Douglas comes back and has an amazing round where he hurts Tyson. And then in the 10th round, when Tyson's already spent, he knocks him out. It was something similar to that. And I think that Teofimo Lopez is going to look back and realize he got no advice in the corner that was of any, you know, benefit. You know, like, you know, in one second, his father is telling him, take your time. And then literally like 3 seconds later, finish him already. I'm like, yeah, how do you go about doing that? It's like, yeah, just go do that thing. You know, if maybe Teofimo Lopez could have just followed those instructions of finish him already, he'd still be the champion tonight. But it takes a few steps to get to that point.
It was a strange finish to the fight when the ref lifted the wrong arm. He lifted Lopez's arm and claimed him the winner. That must have made it.
I haven't thought about that.
Yeah,
thought about that. Yeah, I think Dave Diamante is one of the great announcers in all of boxing. But when he said, and still undefeated, yeah. I'm like, you know what I mean? Everyone knows a lot about Teofimo Lopez. They know he's undefeated. People don't know anything about George Kambosos. So they automatically assume, yep. And still, when you hear still, you're already thinking, okay, and still, right? You know, and then you're thinking, undefeated. Oh, I know Teofimo Lopez is undefeated. Is it that fake that he did there? I think it kind of took the wind out of the sail, so to speak, right? You know what I mean? It kind of made that pop when they finally say, and the new, it kind of took that away. But, you know, overall, I think Dave Diamante, you know, I would probably say he's the best right now ring announcer. I think that, you know, offering friendly advice, I would tell him, hey, you know, don't do that again. Because it sort of made the announcement fall flat because people were trying to figure out what exactly happened. Mm. Right. And then it's like, oh, I guess we have a new champion now. So, but, I mean, luckily it didn't take away any from Kambosos' great victory. Neither did Teofimo Lopez's bizarre claims of winning 10 out of 12 rounds or any of the other strange things that we saw. And Teofimo Lopez's just general lack of, you know, class at the end, you know, at the end of the fight, you know, they're face to face. And usually you have two guys, you know, you just went to war and you knock me down, I knock you down, and we hug and it's all done. We leave it in the ring, right? Lopez just kind of walks away, like, yeah, dismissively. I'm like, yo, like, this man just, you know, fought the fight of his life. You know, whether, you know, you, whatever he said beforehand, as long as he didn't, like, you know, insult your mother, you know, show the man some respect. So, you know, I'm glad that none of that actually took away from Kambosos' victory.
So, Ryan, Kambosos now the IBF, WBO, WBA lightweight world champ. In fact, the first Aussie boxer in history actually to win three world title belts in one fight in one night. Where does he go from here? What happens next, do you think?
Well, it's great to see that we have a new player on the block who will continue the great tradition of not caring that the WBC gave a belt to Devin Haney. He's the champion, right? He's, you know, he's got the three titles that you mentioned, but he's also got the lineal Ring Magazine Championship. So he's the man, and everyone is going to be gunning for him. You know, he's, you know, he was a mandatory challenger, so you know, he, I believe he'll have an option to fight whoever he wants to fight next, and so he can look at the risk reward, you know, because, you know, he's in a weird way, you know, I mean, obviously the stakes are a little bit different, but, you know, it's not unlike James Braddock when James Braddock won the heavyweight championship in a big shock over Max Baer, and I was like, okay, you know, who's the high bidder? What's the right deal for him? Because right now he can. He's basically got this huge chip where he can make some money there. So I would say Ryan Garcia, it makes a lot of sense from Golden Boy because he brings a lot of attention and exposure, and he's, you know, potentially there's a lot of money to be made there, particularly by coming back to the zone where he, you know, he fought on that platform last night. But also, Ryan Garcia is not very experienced. Some people question his determination and dedication to the sport. Some people in his own camp, like Canelo Alvarez, question that about Garcia. So that might be the right fight, you know, for him. Devin Haney's there, but, you know, for whatever reason, Devin Haney's never really caught any traction. I mean, there are a couple of, like, boxing nerds that claim that, you know, everyone's ducking him. But, you know, no one actually believes that, I think, even though he has a belt. But, yeah, I think that George Kambosos really can sit back, you know, and enjoy this victory and look at his options. I think if I'm trying to maximize his money and his longevity and getting him the right deals that make sense, I go right to Ryan Garcia, try to get him out of the way, make a lot of money there. And then, you know, see who pops up on the mandatory, you know, maybe Gervonta Davis, if he wants to kind of, you know, get disciplined and make 135 pounds again. You know, there are a lot of options for him. You know, this is supposed to be his great era. What about Teofimo? I'm sorry, not Teofimo, but because I think he's going to 140. But why not Vasily Lomachenko? He's coming back on December 13th, I believe, against Richard Comey. He's a little bit past his best, I would say. Kambosos might have the right style at the wrong time for someone like Lomachenko.
Well, Ryan, it was a history-making night for Australian boxing, and we really appreciate your expertise and your insight and the generosity of your time this morning, our time, to give us some context on it all. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me. Have a great day.
Ryan Songalia there from The Ring Magazine, live from New York.
That was a great summation, wasn't
it?
He's all over it.
All over it, and he was there to witness it, and it was a big night. It was a big night. So Ryan Songalia there from The Ring Magazine putting George Kambosos, a stunning upset of Teofimo Lopez, into context for us here.